Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm Matt Hansen.
And welcome to the Senate floor.
Talk nerdy to me.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Episode 47 of the Senate Floor. Thank you guys for everything that you do for us. I know I open every single show that way, but I really do mean it. You guys are coming out in full force. We love you guys. You're giving us reviews. You're recommending us to your friends. Our numbers are growing. Our listenership is growing. And with the addition of Filibuster, it's growing even more because Lee just brings a little something special to the table. And so we thank you guys so much for everything that you do to support the show.
I mean, we give credit to everybody here. The aggressive negotiation guys are bringing more people in. Certainly more people are being brought in by your wife. I mean, she's already got her own fan base, and she's only been podcasting for, what, 2 months? 3 months?
Yeah. We've done, I think, 12 episodes together. And yeah, she has her own fan base. There are a couple of people submitted ideas for t-shirts, and they are all the girl centric. It's funny. It's hysterical.
Yeah, she probably gets a kick out of that.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. But today I have a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart. It's something I'm very fascinated with. I'm very open about. I'm very vocal about.
And it's quite topical. You'll never, you know, that's us here at the Senate floor. We keep up with the times.
we're nothing if not current. And our main topic today is the continued digital revolution of home media, whether that's comic books, music, movies, everything about how we consume everything digitally now and what that does to physical media. And we're not going to throw stats at you. We're not going to throw percentages at you because that's not why you listen to us. We're just going to talk about our perspective on things, with the trends that we've seen with our friends online and with each other. But before we get into that, I again, this is going to be weird because I'm going to be suggesting it, but I want to talk about Marvel right now.
Yeah, I know. It's a topic that's been consuming my well-being for the past 2 weeks, but especially this last weekend because we're recording this on May 1st and Civil War opens in 5 days here in the U.S. It's already opened abroad everywhere except for a few markets like China and Russia and Italy, I think. But it's open everywhere else abroad, and as of today, with the estimates coming in, it's already made $200.2 million.
That's insane. That is absolutely insane.
And if you want some statistics, it's only 5% behind the Age of Ultron first weekend international, 26% ahead of Iron Man 3, 26% ahead of the original Avengers, and a whopping 157% ahead of the Winter Soldier.
Now, think about that for a second. Think about how much buildup there is to an Avengers movie, okay? You know, think about, like, basically, if you think about it, every single movie in between Avengers is a buildup to the Avengers, and they throw so much money into marketing, tons and tons of money into marketing for Avengers films, more than any other movie. And when you think about that, Captain America is just 5% behind that on the take. That's amazing.
It's behind Ultron, but it's ahead of the first Avengers.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's just it is insane that a standalone can do so well, but I definitely think that the amount of characters that they're having in it definitely helps that.
Well, true, and I think that, you know, I think that helps it, but I also don't want to sell Cap short because I think that a lot of the goodwill that the Winter Soldier bought worldwide also may have contributed to that, to the point where a Captain America sequel is as high profile as an Avengers sequel. But, you know, they've in my opinion, of course, they've been killing it with the marketing, especially the viral marketing, because I've shared a couple of videos with you, and even you had to admit that you were quite pleasantly surprised.
Oh, I hate it when you phrase things like that, even you have to admit. I respect Marvel's marketing and Disney's marketing very much. I myself am in marketing, and I can recognize good marketing when I see it. And I hardcore want a job with Disney now because what they are doing is so on point with Captain America Civil War.
And sometimes they don't even need the clips from the movie to do it. Like, you know, I think your favorite one so far has been the Chris Evans versus Robert Downey Jr. for the donut video.
Yeah, it was one single shot, and it was, you saw Olsen in the background, and Downey, you know, steals the last donut, and it pisses off Evans, and then all of a sudden Olsen just screams, and like that's the cause of the Civil War. It's genius. But I actually, the one that I liked even more was Downey in Paris.
Oh, lighting up the Eiffel Tower. Lighting
up the Eiffel Tower.
It was Downey, but he went ahead and he referred to himself as Tony, so he was in character.
It's the same person.
Yeah.
There's no difference. There's between Tony and Robert.
I know, that's why it works so well. But yes, it's already killing it abroad. So far, and Tristan knows how much I stress over this, but so far with 90 reviews in on Rotten Tomatoes, it's sitting at a 94% certified fresh. Hopefully the American critics don't kill that too much. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping, you know, knock on whatever wood's next to me, that it doesn't go below like an 80.
I severely doubt that it will. I mean, that's kind of the measuring stick. You know, you don't want it to go below 80. You don't want any movie to go below 80. You know, and it's with it starting so high at a 94%, it would have to be radically different for an American audience to make it go down that far. Because if you look at Batman versus Superman, you know, that just wasn't a strong film to the majority of people out there. And so right off the bat, international audience, it was down. American audience was down. I think with international audience liking this so much, it might go, it'll go down a little because American critics are cantankerous.
Right.
But I think it'll stay in the 90s.
I hope so too. That would be nice. It would be the one time that where a superhero trilogy got better as it went along. Because, you know, the first Cap has somewhere in the neighborhood of an 80. Winter Soldier has an 89. It would be amazing if this was the highest rate and it's the third one, which is really hard to do, especially with, like, because it has that curse of, like, the superhero third is always the worst one, right? Or usually. It's the one that you know, maybe except for Dark Knight Rises for some people, but even some people were disappointed by that. So, but it was still rated highly. But when you think of superhero threes, you know, dating all the way back to, you know, Superman 3, Batman Forever, X-Men The Last Stand, Spider-Man 3. Mm-hmm. It's always kind of been like that. The third one is the weak link.
And John Mills would agree with you about Blade.
Blade 3.
About Blade Trinity was I liked it and he hates that I like it, but I never really noticed that before, but yeah, you're right. I mean, like, we're also moving beyond trilogies now. You know, like, it was, you know, when we were kids, I remember hearing like it's gonna get a sequel, and that was so common. It was you had a standalone for a long time, and then you had the first one and a sequel. Like, if it was good enough, quote unquote, it was going to get a sequel. And then you had a double pack for a lot of movies. And then we started getting into the trilogy era. And then all of a sudden it became standard for people when they became a part of a franchise. They're like, oh, you're signing a trilogy deal. You want to be a part of Star Trek? You sign a trilogy deal. You want to be a part of Star Wars? You sign a trilogy deal. And now we're moving beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for example, these Marvel guys, I think Chris Evans said when he first signed, he was committing to 6 pictures.
That's amazing. That's insane. Like, they're in television, it's not, you can't sign more than a 6-year contract. It's illegal to sign a 7-year contract.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. I knew that a lot of renegotiations take place around a 7th season, but I didn't know it was like mandated that it can only be a 6-year contract.
Well, like, it can be less, but it just can't be more. Like, Modern Family went through a big ordeal when the 7th season came around, because especially with, you know, like, if you're a successful show and the producers want to keep going, and then it comes around to renegotiation time, you know, the actors know that they have the producers, you know, up against a barrel.
So I have to ask, Tristan, because I think listeners are dying to know, are you going to be doing your Old Man Sunday showing of Civil War next weekend?
I just bought my tickets for 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I got the seats I wanted.
So, shall I tell you how I'm going to watch Civil War for the first time?
Yes, but hold on to that for a second, because I want to talk about something, and I'm sure that several other people can relate to this, because here's the thing, is that they released tickets for Civil War, what, 2 months ago?
It was when the last trailer was released with Spider-Man, so yeah, that was at the beginning of March.
Okay, so about 2 months ago. And I immediately, like, you know, everybody knows that my wife, the girl, is not a Marvel fan, but she liked Winter Soldier. I went to a friend of mine who lives in town, because I really pretty much only have one friend in the area. And he said that, I asked him 2 months ago, I said, I was like, hey, you know, like, you want to go see Civil War? He's like, yeah, sure. Is it this weekend? I go, no, it's in 2.5 months. And he's like, why on earth? Like, he said, he's like, I don't know where I'm going to be. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it in 2.5 months. And I was like, why not? If we make the plans now, then you know exactly where you're going to be. And then just yesterday, and I hope he's listening to this because he listens to our show. Benjamin, I'm calling you out. He just yesterday, he said, he's like, sorry, man, can't make it this weekend. Just too, you know, too many things going on. And I'm just like, what the hell, dude? You could have told me that 2 months ago and I would have ordered my tickets 2 months ago. And it's just so funny because I had to calm down and realize that he is a normal person.
Right.
And we are not. And it's hard making plans with normies when you're a nerd.
It's so true. And they open up those tickets for us. I mean, because they know they already got us in the bag. But yeah, shall I tell you how I'm going to watch Civil War?
Yes. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. I want to know your Civil War routine.
Okay, so since I am going back to school, listeners, this August, I'm going to law school for, I don't know if I've mentioned that on this podcast, but I will know.
Soon you will be Matthew Henson Esquire.
Yes, that would be fantastic. But, you know, soon enough, that means I won't be having an income. I'll have to go back to school. So, you know, every time one of these big Avengers or event movies comes out, of course, theaters put on marathons. For the hardcore fans, where you pay like a set amount of money and you go in and they show you all the films and then they end with the new one. And so I thought, you know what? There's no bigger movie that I've been anticipating for the last 2 years. I would dare say, as excited as I was, and you can go back and listen to it, to our old shows, as excited as I was for Age of Ultron, I would say I'm even more excited for this one, especially with, you know, fingers crossed, the good reception that it's getting so far. So I thought, you know what? I'm never going to get this chance again because I simply won't have the money or the time. And so I plunked down my money, and on Thursday, May 5th, the day before it comes out, I am going to the Ultimate Captain America Marathon, as it's called, where I get to see First Avenger, Avengers, Winter Soldier, Age of Ultron, and then we end with Civil War. So basically all the movies that Cap has been in.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at 8:45 in the morning. I'm even sacrificing beauty sleep so that I could go this early. And I went full core, hardcore. I took Thursday and Friday off of work. I used personal days. So that way I could, you know, because I don't think you understand. I'm not just planning to see this once that weekend because that would be madness.
Oh yeah, that's insane. Just
yeah,
once?
No,
yeah.
That's crazy talk. So no, not settle for once. I'll probably see it because I think it's gonna start in the neighborhood of like 7 o'clock that night. I could be wrong, but you know that's what I'm guesstimating. So I'll probably be out in time. Where if I wanted to go see it at like 11 that same night, I'll probably go again. I'll see it on Friday. I'll probably see it Saturday. And I know for sure I'm seeing it Sunday because that's Mother's Day and my mom wants to go see it.
Now, okay, so Lee did the same thing, didn't he?
Lee did do the same thing. Lee, who is my co-host on The Filibuster, who lives in Scotland, they've already gotten the movie. And so on Thursday, this last Thursday, he did the same thing and he had a good time and he loved the movie. So that gives me hope.
Yeah, well, you guys, I remember, like, you guys told me that you're doing this, and I admire your dedication. I could do that at home. I do not think I could do that in the theater that long.
Well, that's because you get all stressed and, you know, nervous with a movie theater. I know how you are.
It's true. It's true. The same way that you get stressed about ratings for some reason, I get stressed about other people in theaters.
Yeah. I mean, it can be treacherous, because I mean, this last week I saw Alien in the theater for Alien Day. Mm-hmm. And I had a great time. It was a great experience and all that. I did happen to sit next to hipster douche and his girlfriend, who were there to laugh ironically at all the unfunny parts. So,
oh, he probably was wearing a Spam T-shirt at the same time.
But you know, stuff like that can taint the movie experience slightly. But I don't think that's going to happen because when you go, this is the nice thing, right? Because granted, you're in there for a long time and you're sitting with people, but you are sitting with only the crazy hardcore fans go to this thing. So you're all there for a shared purpose. You're all excited. I'm hoping that energy hypes me up even more, but we'll see.
That's why I'm getting more used to opening night and opening weekend, because it ever since they opened up a theater that had reserved seating.
Isn't that the best, by the way?
It is. It's utterly fantastic. And just the fact that, if you're there opening weekend, it's most likely because the people have known about the movie and want to be there.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Can't wait. In the meantime, before we move on to the main topic, I just had a quick movie recommendation because it's a movie that kind of has gone under the radar, but I happened to catch at a theater last weekend and really, really enjoyed. People know, or may not know, but if they've listened to this show and the filibuster, they've known that within the last year I've been really getting into the Richard Linklater filmography. Mm-hmm. So, I saw the Before trilogy for the first time. I went and saw Boyhood last year when it was being considered for Oscars. I actually rented Dazed and Confused because I'd never seen that before and I've always wanted to. But I've been really getting into the man's style. So I went to go see his new film that was out in theaters, The Everybody Wants Some. It's kind of a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, except that Dazed and Confused takes place in the 70s. This takes place in 1980. And it's concerning a bunch of college guys in a baseball fraternity the first week of college in the summer of 1980. And I really ended up enjoying myself. I can't give you a plot because the one thing that Linklater films get criticized for, but I really don't mind, is that they're not so much plot-driven movies as they are just an examination of characters within a certain time span. You can you can say that for Dazed and Confused. You can say that for Boyhood. You can say that for the Before films. They're, it's not like it's things happen to the characters. It's just watching the character for 2 hours or however long the movies are supposed to take place for. But that being said, I really enjoyed myself. And I think part of it was I like period films, and I like that period especially. I mean, part of the reason why I think I enjoyed, and you're a fan of this too, Tristan, part of the reason I think I enjoyed watching that 70s show is because it takes place in a period that I like. I really like the 70s. And I like I like the 80s too. But just, and they go for it. They really go for that authentic feel, and I really enjoyed that. And the characters, they're Linklater characters, but Linklater characters I think are very interesting. Flawed, for sure, but interesting, mm-hmm. and they feel human. And so even though I wasn't a baseball fraternity guy in college, I knew people who were like that. And so, I was able to connect with it. I very much enjoyed myself. It's in a limited release, so it could be hard to find. But if it's playing near you and you like Richard Linklater, check it out. I really had a good time with it.
Have you seen his animated work? Have you seen Waking Life or A Scanner Darkly?
No, I have not.
You should give those a try, because Waking Life is very existential. It's very out there, and it's about dreaming and people discussing about what is dreams, and you have different characters in almost every single scene.
I know that I've heard in Waking Life you have a Before Sunrise section with Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke.
You have a Jesse and Celine scene, which now doesn't make
contradicts
sense.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. But it's still a lot of fun to see those characters interacting in that way. It's a lot of fun. And then A Scanner Darkly, Waking Life was kind of a test for that animation style by Linklater. It was an experiment. And then he went on to A Scanner Darkly, and actually Robert Downey Jr. is in it as well. And
cool.
The main protagonist is Keanu Reeves, though. And it's not the best movie, but it's interesting. It's interesting to watch because of the animation style.
Interesting. Well, like I said, I became a huge Linklater fan last year, so I'm trying to go through his stuff. So I will put that on the list.
Very underrated director. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic. And as we teased at the beginning of the show, we are talking about digital downloads, digital movies, digital comic books, digital music, digital everything. Now, for the longest time, I was and am a big physical media guy. I mean, as the moment that DVD came out, I was obsessed with it.
That much is obvious because listeners can't see what I'm seeing right now, but behind Tristan is just a wall of DVDs, and it's quite a sight to behold, ladies and gentlemen. It really is.
It's pretty much the wall, the entire wall behind me. And I just consumed. I just bought. I dropped so much money when I shouldn't have as a kid, you know, like being in high school and college. And I remember, you know, like when I went to study in Los Angeles, I was just, once I moved back home, I had a stack like from the floor to my waist of movies that I bought in that time. And my dad was just shaking his head. He's like, why, how did you buy this much? And there's a huge store called Amoeba in Los Angeles. That's a used record store and a used movie store. And so I just got them for dirt cheap. And that's the thing, is that it was so silly of me because I saw myself as a movie collector.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get these movies that I saw once and sort of liked, and I was like, I could see myself seeing that again. And so I would just pick it up instead of just renting it or going and getting it. And it just, there's so many movies on my shelf. Now, I'm not saying a lot, like I'm not going to say most, because I do rewatch movies constantly, but there's a lot of movies on there that I know I'm never going to watch again.
Right.
And you can't really, like, selling DVDs online, what? You know, like, after shipping and everything like that, you'll make $2. You know, it's just not worth it to me.
And plus, I'm one of those people that, even though I know I'm probably not going to watch a movie for a while, I want to know that I have that option to watch it. It's just, there's something about that that's comforting, that, like, should the occasion ever arise, I know I can go to my closet and get it.
100% agreeing with you, because I don't like being reliant on internet. I don't like being reliant on another service that's out there that could be down, or I could have problems with my internet, or for some reason that movie's not available at that time, or there's some sort of issue.
Or if it's back in the day, Tristan, you go to the Blockbuster or the store and someone has already rented it.
Yeah, you go there specifically for that movie and you're like, ah, crap, they don't have any more copies. Why didn't you get more copies, Blockbuster? But the thing is, that the reason why we're bringing this up is because, like, we're both big physical media guys, but, you know, as we all know, they started packaging digital downloads on, you know, like with your physical media purchase. So you could get the Blu-ray, and that Blu-ray comes with a DVD, and it also comes with a digital download, whether it's for digital HD or iTunes. The beauty of that is that, you know, it's all stored in one place.
Mm-hmm.
It's all stored virtually, so it doesn't take up shelf space. Also, you can have people who you can share your account with.
True.
So I have family members that I can share the account with, so that they can watch my movies whenever they want, even if they're hundreds of miles away. You know, that's a huge benefit. And I don't, like, if I'm really lazy, I don't have to get out of my chair and put in a physical disc. And so, you know, like I'm seeing all these benefits. And the other day, I can't remember when it was, like, when exactly it was, but I started thinking. I said, you know what? I'm run out of space. I don't have a big house. I'm running out of wall space. I'm running out of movie space. And streaming quality is getting better and better. Mm-hmm. Netflix is no longer just 720. You know, we also get 1080, and now we're getting 4K on some titles on Netflix.
Right.
And Vudu is getting a strong picture. It's a stronger picture than iTunes, which a lot of people don't understand that or don't remember.
No,
that.
It's absolutely true. I have much better quality on my Vudu than iTunes.
Yeah. Mike Schindler might disagree with me. He might say that I'm crazy. He's a friend of the network, and he's on the Trek FM network. This guy knows a lot about distribution, theatrical showings, and pixel quality aspect ratio. He's really knowledgeable. And I think he made the switch to digital because he said he can't tell the difference between digital downloads and Blu-ray anymore. And there's now, at least this is all generalizing, because if anyone could see the difference, it would be him. But for me, I still can see the difference in certain titles, but I'm becoming more like him, where it's getting harder and harder to see the difference. And also, you know, Blu-rays are costing $20 most of the time, and if you pre-order a digital download, you could usually get it for about $15.
Right.
I kind of came to the decision where if it has Star Trek in the title, Star Wars, and Christopher Nolan as the director, or David Fincher as the director, I think that's when I'm going to buy physical media, and that might be it.
So unless it's an exciting space adventure or depressing movies, that's what you'll buy.
That, yes, they have to be soul crushing. Yes, yes.
I hear you. I'm definitely running out of space in my closet. In fact, I bought a few bins to try to like organize my DVD collection, because I got a closet full and I've got another pantry full of all my stuff. But the problem is, and this is something that I guess we can talk about, you and I are of the last generation, probably of the last generation, that will remember physical media, because it's just shifting that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember in high school, before I even got my iPod, I had my my portable CD player. You know, I walked around with that and carried a bunch of CDs in my backpack. You know,
your Discman.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, having been raised on physical media and switching over to digital, I have nothing against digital. In fact, some of it is great and fantastic, and I like having digital copies that I can watch anywhere. But the thing is, I there's something so pleasing to me, because I consider myself a movie collector along the same lines as you. There's something so pleasing and so aesthetically satisfying about holding a Blu-ray in your hands, or holding a DVD or a CD or something, or, you know, even something like you have in the background. There's something gratifying to me about walking into my closet and seeing all the movies that I've collected over the years, and kind of having almost a sense of pride about it.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like when people come over to visit, or this is the first time that they come on over to my house, like the girl and I love showing off our media room, because it's impressive. It's a source of pride. As silly as that sounds, it's a source of pride, where people walk in and they go, "Holy crap, you have a lot of movies." And we go, "Yeah. Yeah, we do."
Right. So, I mean, there's something that I really, really like about that. And as much as we're moving on to digital, and I, you know, I'll move along with the times too. Who am I to judge? But I do think that something special for me is going to be lost when mm-hmm. Blu-rays and DVDs eventually are done away with.
And they're fighting hard to stay alive, because they just started releasing 4K Blu-rays.
Right.
A lot of people didn't think it was going to happen. I remember I had an argument online with someone where they said, no, Blu-ray is the last physical media that we're going to have. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think we're going to get 4K Blu-rays, and then I think we're going to move on to flash storage, and then I think we'll get to digital streaming. He just completely did not believe me. And so if you're listening, I was right.
Take your moment to gloat. Yeah, so, you know, there's something satisfying that physical media is not being done away with so quickly. But I don't know. Given the choice these days, Tristan, I still buy the physical media. Now, this is how crazy I am sometimes, though. If it's a movie I really want to see now, like right now, then when it's really, because they know how to get you, too. They always release the digital release maybe a month to 3 weeks in advance of when they're going to give you the physical release.
Right.
So if it's a movie I really want to see, I've double dipped before, I'm ashamed to say, because I wanted to see it now, but I've also wanted the physical copy.
Yeah, I think the only time I double dipped because I couldn't wait any longer was with Gone Girl, where I pre-ordered the Blu-ray, but then they released it digitally, and I was just like, I need to watch it today. I want to watch it today. It has a Fincher commentary. I want to watch it today. And so I think what I did is that I just gave you the digital copy that came with it, with the DVD.
Yeah.
And so even though I double dipped, I was like, well, at least somebody's getting use out of it. You know, like, you're not technically supposed to do that, but
I've done that before. In fact, I did the exact same thing with Ultron.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I bought the digital copy way in advance, and then when I finally got my physical copy, I gave the digital code to you.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that I haven't bought a physical Marvel film since Avengers.
Wow, not even Winter Soldier?
No, not even Winter Soldier, because I got a digital copy of it. I just got the digital copy. Because I'm not as big of a Marvel fan as you, it wasn't important for me to own it. And once I started realizing that, like, Marvel kind of got me thinking about it, I was like, yeah, you know, I enjoy Marvel movies, I like them, but do I need them to take up my shelf? And the answer for me personally was no. And so, like, I know you're going to make fun of me, but with Batman versus Superman, I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't, and I'm not here trying to argue its merits. But that one for me is like, I immediately was like, oh, okay, well, you know, like, I'll just go ahead and I'll pick that one up so I can watch the extended version and see what that's like. But then I started thinking, I was like, well, do I need a physical version? Because it doesn't meet the criteria that I laid forth earlier in the show. Star Trek, Star Wars, Fincher, Nolan. I don't have a physical copy of Man of Steel. And I'm like, is there going to be a Batman film out there that I don't own on disc? You know, I'm having an existential crisis right now.
Yeah.
What? No, no comment. No, nothing. No, no response.
No, I'm trying to be nice.
Oh, you're so pigheaded when it comes to that movie, just like everybody else. But like I said, I'm not arguing its merits, but do you have anything like that's going on for you? Like, do you have any crises of the heart where you're just like, do I do this? Do I not? What's the point? You know?
Not yet. I have to say, if I know I'm going to watch something eventually, even if I don't want it right now, I can't really speak because the last 3 years I've had the benefit of a job and I'm a single person with not a lot of bills on the table. Now, when I go to college, ask me this question again in 5 months when I go to college and have no more income, then I can start being more picky about what I'll pick up.
What's really funny is, like, just yesterday I ordered a digital copy of Deadpool.
So did I? Well, no. Actually, I ordered my physical copy. There you go.
Yeah. Like, what happened was is that I hadn't seen it before, and like I didn't see it in theater, and so that was another reason for me just to get the digital copy, because I was like, I didn't know if I was gonna like it or not, and I didn't feel like renting it. I hate renting, because if I'm going to spend that much, like, now rentals are up sometimes to $7, and I'm like, well, I might as well spend just a couple bucks more and get to actually own it. But the thing is that what's funny is that I got an iTunes version. I normally get Vudu. I'm Vudu all the way. I love the versatility of Vudu.
I love Vudu too, yeah. Well, and the nice thing too is, like, I don't know if you probably know this, but you can link your Vudu in iTunes, where you can, like, download your Vudu purchases in iTunes.
Only with Disney.
Oh, really? I thought that was any...
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that's why, because most of it is my Avengers stuff, so...
Yeah, it's only with Disney movies does it link. It's called Disney Anywhere. Guys, if you have not done this yet, link your... Get a Disney Anywhere account. Disney Movies Anywhere account. Yeah. And then link it with your iTunes, link with your Vudu, link it with your Google Play. And if one service has a sale on a Disney movie and it's cheaper than iTunes, it doesn't matter. You buy it on Vudu, it shows up on iTunes.
It's great.
But what I was saying earlier with the Deadpool thing is that I got an iTunes copy instead of a Vudu, because I share my Vudu with my parents and I didn't want them watching Deadpool. So I didn't want them accidentally watching it. So I was just like, I'm going to keep this on my iTunes so that they can't see it.
Right.
So yeah, that and it's just funny. Those are the factors that come into play now. Those are the factors that I think about.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school. Maybe it's because I like putting another thing on my shelf. I still like springing for the physical media, even if it's something that I don't know if I necessarily need. If it's something that I think I'm going to watch in the future, just off chance, I'll buy it if it's a reasonable price.
It's just, okay, here's the thing, is that, like, I know we were going to talk about other things. Like, I want to talk about comics for a little bit here.
Yeah, this is more your forte than mine, but yes.
Yeah, I'm a much bigger comic reader than you, and by comparison to others, I am almost nothing. Like, you look at Rushing on the network, Matt Rushing, he consumes comic books. There's very few people out there who read more comic books than he does.
Right.
And he loves digital. I love digital. He loves e-readers. He loves digital comics. And ever since I found Comixology, the service, Comixology, where you can link your Marvel account, your DC account, Dark Horse, all these different accounts, you can link them all together. And it's one. It's a one-stop shop, and they just got bought. They just got bought by Amazon, which is awesome, because I had some Amazon purchases that are now linked over to Comixology, and they have this thing that I really enjoy called Guided View.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't really like this. I do. Immediately, I fell in love with it, because what it does is, you know, as everyone knows, comic books is grouped into panels. With Guided View, you only see it one panel at a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't see it one page at a time. You see it one panel at a time. And one of the reasons why I really enjoy this is because there could be something at the bottom of the page that's really, really big, and it's kind of a spoiler for the story. You know, like as soon as you turn the page, you see a guy firing a gun, or you see someone getting hit across the face, or you see a part of the story that you don't have any lead up to yet because you haven't read the first four panels.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Guided View, you get more surprise. You like it's shown in a way where it's very linear. But then again, there's some argument where, well, the artist wanted you to see that whole page all at once. It's great on an iPad, on a big iPad. And what I do is, when I first found this, I remember I did this with Saga, which is a great comic book series. It's blown me away. And I can't recommend it enough, you guys. You should check it out. It's a great sci-fi series. So what I did was I hooked up my iPad to my Apple TV. You know, I used it. I sent the image via AirPlay, and I turned on Guided View. And so I could see each panel on my huge TV screen. And then I started playing music on Spotify underneath it. And so I was listening to music through my sound system and swiping through the panels. And it felt like my own motion comic. It felt like an animated movie as I was reading it.
You gave it its own soundtrack.
I gave it its own soundtrack. And it was really cool. I love reading comics that way. And people make fun of me because they're like, oh, you just want to watch a movie. And I'm like, yeah, I do.
With comics and going digital, do you feel that the, because I would guess maybe one of the arguments of retaining physical media for comics is, you know, really appreciating the detail and the artwork, but it sounds like you're able to appreciate that still with digital, or do you feel that there's something that's still captivating about holding the comic and seeing the original artwork in the printed page?
In printed form, yeah, there is something. It's like holding a physical book against an e-reader. It's all tradition, you know. It's all nostalgia. I think that's really where it comes from. Is that when we were kids holding a comic book, we all know that feeling. When we were a kid reading a book, a novel for the first time, we all know that feeling. We all know that smell. And with an e-reader, you don't get any of that nostalgia. You don't get that smell. It's everything is the exact same.
You don't get the all-impressive dust cover.
yeah, you don't get a dust cover. And it's, and so I get that. I get that feeling. Like when people say like, oh, I don't like e-readers or I don't like this, I get it. I don't criticize. I'm just like, yeah, just, you know, go with whatever you like. I think we'll always have books, like physical books. But I think the thing with that is that there's certain comics out there that aren't in HD. You know, like they don't have an HD scan or an HD transfer. So when you do Guided View, like if it's a small panel,
mm-hmm.
and you do Guided View and it blows it up, the edge definition is gone. It's scratchy. It looks kind of blown up and weird and pixelated. And so it detracts from it and from the experience. And so
is that more with like smaller comics, like nothing from the major trades?
Yeah, you see it more often in non-DC and non-Marvel.
Right.
And even then, like even if it's Marvel and DC, if it's some of the older stuff that hasn't been rescanned with better technology, still get that. But the thing is, though, to answer your question about, you know, difference between, artwork, I do like owning physical copies of comic books, but not individual issues. I can't stand having individual issues.
So you get those omnibus editions?
I get the omnibus, I get the annuals, I get the once they're done with an arc, that's when I'll pick it up. And I've been trying to get all of the Batman classics.
Right.
Like I've been trying to get like Batman Black and White or Batman Halloween, like Dark Knight Returns, you know, those type of classics. I want to own the best.
Right.
But if I'm just trying to read it, if I just want to if it's just a casual read, I'll get the e-reader. I'll get the iPad edition on Comixology. But if I want to own it, really own it, not just have it in my not have it in my digital library. Yeah, it's going to go on the shelf.
I mean, obviously, I don't read as much comic books as you do, but I did pride myself. There was a time before I started working and having no life that I read a lot of, you know, actual books, like novels. Mm-hmm. I still have in this closet next to me a whole shelf full of mostly Star Trek books, but some other sci-fi stuff. I haven't switched over to digital yet. I don't have an e-reader per se. I just have my iPhone. I don't even have an iPad yet. I don't know. I don't know if how I would take to it. I guess I would try it, but again, a lot like the having the movie collection and being proud of it. There's something about having a shelf full of books that I know I've read, or even like as I'm reading a book currently, just looking at how far I've progressed to the book and being really proud of myself. I don't know why that is, but look how far I've gotten into the book, and I only have, you know, 50 more pages to go. Yeah, I that will be the last test for me, is because I've switched over to, you know, I've gotten used to digital streaming for movies. I've definitely gotten used to music, because the iPod is a wonderful invention. But the books, I haven't crossed over yet, and I guess that I will see how I take to it. That will be interesting.
I'm glad that you brought up music, because there's not much to say there. I mean, like, digital music is king. You know, it's
with music, though, I'm a lot like you with movies, where I will mostly buy iTunes. But if it's a band, or if it's an artist that I know I love, like it's one of my favorites of all time, I will still go out and buy their CD to support them. That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing to think about, is because even if it's more expensive, but if it's an indie band, or just somebody that you really respect, you'll gladly pay more, like you said, to support them. Because here's the thing with me with music, is that I'll get digital downloads and, you know, everything like that, like crazy. But what's really interesting, that in 2015, since we're talking about digital versus physical, the fastest growing medium in music, fastest growing sales wise, was vinyl.
Yeah, because, well, that speaks to, and I think you could speak to this more because you're more of the technical mind than I am. But first of all, there's something so gratifying these days about holding a record in your hands, because you feel I feel classy holding a record. I don't know why, but it's just like the big artwork, and it's, you know, you just feel sophisticated and stuff. But doesn't vinyl have like a super good quality that even CD can't match? The sound quality on a vinyl is still really good, and that's why people buy it. Is that true?
That is 100% true, and anyone who tells you difference is lying, because what it is that a lot of people don't understand this, and a lot of people don't have to understand this. I mean, it's just like, not everybody is an audiophile. Not everybody can hear the difference.
Right, and I'm not, but that's why I'm asking you, because I know that you are.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, you know, I'm in production. I'm in video and audio production, and so I know what to listen for. And here's the thing, is that whenever you record a session, a modern session, you record it today, you record it digitally, and say you start at 100% quality. Now, this is just a thrown out number. I'm just using it so we can illustrate.
Right.
Say it's 100% quality when you record. You have a lot of information. When you put it down to CD, you're going down to like 20% of your original quality. And then when you go to digital download, you're going to like 15 to 10% quality. And when you're at vinyl, you're between 50 and 80.
Right. Okay.
And so, and the only thing that's better than vinyl is tape. Not the cassette tape.
Reel to reel.
Yeah, like reel to reel tape. But the thing is, that's way too expensive, way too cumbersome. It just does not make any marketing sense.
And no one has a reel to reel player anymore, where a lot, you know, they still do sell turntables.
Yes, they like, there was a resurgence in turntables. There are some crazy audiophiles out there who have reel to reel, but we're talking about $600 to thousands of dollars for a reel to reel player.
And
then if
big.
You want an album, that's $100. It's insane. And they're big, yeah. But with vinyl, you get that fantastic quality. You get, because it's kind of like the film argument. you know, ever since the, you know, like we were filming in the 20s, the 1920s, they had no idea that they were using a material that would be better than anything that we've ever produced in the past 100 years.
Except that it can degrade.
Yes, exactly. Except that it can degrade. But the amount of visual information that is captured in film is better than any kind of digital thing that we've done so far. Even today, like when we're shooting in 4K and 6K, film is still more than that. Some theories argue or differ, but the thing is that it's kind of like that with vinyl. We had vinyl in the 50s and even before, well before, and now we're going back to that because we realized that that was actually a pinnacle of audio technology because that captured the most information. And that's the thing, is that you want to capture the most information, whether it's visual or audio wise. Every single time you go down and you make it easier, you degrade your quality. And that's it, like going back to physical media with movies and everything like that. Blu-ray is still the best way to get your movies, except for going to the theater.
Right.
And digital is just below that in pixel depth and everything like that, because it's just how it is.
What you're talking about is why I imagine a lot of independent movie houses and sometimes theaters will still put on, and it will attract a lot of people, 35 millimeter film showings and 70 millimeter film showings, because there must be something to it, because I remember even a few months back, one of the independent movie houses in town finally got the ability to project 70 millimeter film. And one of the first things they showed was 2001: A Space Odyssey, which is, you know, my favorite hard science fiction film. And I thought, you know what? I don't think I've ever experienced, I might've when I was younger, because I don't know how film worked back then, but I don't think I've ever experienced 70 millimeter. So, I ended up going to see it, and I've seen that movie countless times. Mm-hmm. And so, I know it pretty well, but there was something about the sound quality and the visual quality when they turned it on to 70 millimeter that it was louder and clearer and brighter than I've ever seen anything before. So that's must be why that 70 millimeter is such a precious thing still.
Also, like if you guys want to see the difference between like even just the size of the film, like because you mentioned going from 35 millimeter to 70 millimeter or 35 millimeter to IMAX, watch The Dark Knight, and whenever you see it in 2.39 or 2.4 or whatever aspect ratio, that's 35 millimeter. When you see it in 16:9 aspect ratio, that's IMAX. And whenever it switches to IMAX, it is brighter, it is clearer, it is crisper, and it's just absolutely insane that even when you go with something as great of quality as 35 millimeter, and you have Wally, who absolutely knows what he's doing and knows how to shoot on film, and you bring it, like, it just can't compete with the IMAX quality. And it's just so funny because even though it's super quality 35 millimeter, it pales in comparison to IMAX. And some people don't notice the difference, and I don't know how that is. And that's where it boils down to, is that for me, it's a quality issue that is slowly turning into a convenience and storage issue. And for you, I think it's like an ownership issue, where when you have a physical DVD, you're like, this is mine. I own this.
Right.
And when you just have a digital version of the movie, you and I both feel we're just kind of like, are we just leasing this? You know, is it really mine, or am I just paying for access to it?
Well, I think there's a psychology behind it, because, I mean, I can't walk by my closet and see my digital copy. You know what I mean? There's something about seeing it there on the shelf.
That's true. Actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's something else, is that I own a lot of movies on Vudu, a lot. And some of them I own on DVD, because what you can do with Vudu is that you can actually, put them into your computer, and then Vudu will scan it and, you know, say that you recognize that you actually own this movie, and then you can convert it to digital for like a couple of bucks. Or you can actually take it to Walmart and they can do it for you. And so I have a lot of upgraded DVDs, where like I put in a DVD and it's like, oh, do you like for an extra dollar, do you want to make it HD? And I go, hell yeah. And so I have a lot of those movies. But the thing is that I don't remember everything that I have in Vudu. I remember every single thing that I have on my shelf, even though I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DVDs on my shelf. I remember every single one of them. But in Vudu, I have a couple hundred, and I can't remember all of them.
Right. See, exactly. That it's just, you know, I can remember what I have, but I have so few compared to yours, just because I still prefer that physical media. But yeah, like I said, there's something that I think is special about walking by and seeing what you own. At least for me, I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say, because Tristan and I are big movie files and we're big collectors, but some people aren't. So they could have a totally different perspective than what we do. I'd be interested to hear you guys weigh in on this. And I think that's a good place to start wrapping the conversation up.
Yeah, I think so too. I was just about to say the same exact thing. We want to know what you guys think. Email us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can find us on Twitter. Matt is mhanson0207. I am @theinsanerobin. Tell us what you think. Have you gone all digital? Will you always stay physical as long as they have it? Or do you kind of do half and half like we do? You know, like, tell us what you think. You know, like, is this an overblown argument, or are you very much like the old man, get the hell off my lawn? You know, this digital download's just a phase. Let us know. I really want to know, because, you know, ultimately it's just Matt and I's perspective on things. And so we want to know the larger worldview. So please email us or contact us. And you can go to the website. You can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. And from there, so you can send us an email. And make sure while you're there, while you're at thenerdparty.com, make sure to check out our other shows, because we have two other shows on the network. We have Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast, which is just a great esoteric view of Star Wars, where they ask the questions that that you might not have even thought to ask before. And we also have Nerd Nuptial, which is co-hosted by me and my wife. And we look at married life from a nerd slant. And it's just a lot of fun to do that show. And also, I mean, the Senate Floor is a biweekly podcast that shares a stream with Filibuster, which is the other biweekly podcast. So you get an episode every single week from this stream. And that it has Lee Hutchison. And you guys are going to be talking Civil War next week. Is that right?
That's right. Lee's already seen it. I'm going to see it. So that's definitely what we're talking about next week. This was a fun discussion. I kind of like it. I do wonder, though, when we start hearing from people, if we are going to be the old souls here, because I have a feeling that more people are a lot more comfortable with digital than maybe we are. But it will be very interesting to see. Thank you so much for joining us for this really insightful discussion on the Senate floor. And until next time, if you'll excuse us, I have to go to Best Buy and add at least three more to my collection.
Coming up next week.
There are men laying down their lives. I got no right to do any less than them.
I just finally know what I have to do.
Captain?
Mr. Stark? I don't trust a guy without a dark side.
Well, let's just say you haven't seen it yet.
After everything that's happened,
nothing compared to what's coming.
I just want to make sure we consider all our options.
You know what's about to happen.
You chose the wrong side. Sorry, Tommy, but he's my friend. So was I.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.